Good morning. My name is Daniel Shanks. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get to say good morning, which is awesome. But I also get to talk to you today, which is why we're here. I get to talk to you about spiritual fitness. Did someone clap? I actually really did. I just kind of wanted to see what we've been talking about spiritual fitness for a while. Our sermon series is called Fit for Life. How many of you like talking about things like fitness? Some of you? Good for you. I used to be athletic. I knew you guys would laugh when I said that, and I didn't know how I felt about that when I was practicing. I did. I used to be athletic, and I still am, but in small bursts. Are some of you like that? Maybe not like what your past glory was, but like you're capable. Like I joke with kids, right? I normally work with youth and young adults. Kids mess with me sometimes. They do. And I have this policy. I can only chase them for like 15 seconds. And I can get there pretty quick. But if they can evade capture for 15 seconds, they're fine, because I'm probably sitting on the ground winded. Fitness is something that we talk about. We all know it's a good thing, but we also kind of avoid it sometimes. I think when we talk about fitness, or like, how many of you guys have like the friend that is like really, really likes talking about fitness? Like those of you who raised your hands, like when you talk about fitness, how do people respond? Kind of like, oh, good for you, man. Right? I have a friend who loves to tell me all the time. He's like, man, I work out all the time. I'm like, yeah, what do you do? He's like, I rock climb. I'm like, that's not working out. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I should probably go rock climbing. We don't talk about it because in some sense, like, people feel uncomfortable because they, like, I need to be doing more of that, right? Like, physical fitness is one of those things that all of us should be doing, but a lot of us don't. It's March right now. A lot of us have already kind of given up on the gym memberships from the new year. It's interesting. But here's the thing. We're in the season of Lent. And so during the season of Lent, by the way, Lent is like this period of 40 days plus some Sundays that lead us from basically Ash Wednesday into Easter. And traditionally, this is the time where the church has focused on being fit spiritually, right? You see, the church a long time ago met this person named Jesus, and we figured out that Jesus was holy, divine, but also human. And we started seeing ourselves in this sense. We are body, but we're also spirit. We are physical, but we're spiritual. And so during this time of Lent, the church talks about what it means to be spiritually fit. How do we, as the body of Christ, how do we exercise spiritually? How do we do this? And we've talked about spiritual disciplines. We talk about things like praying, which is what we're going to talk about today. We talk about things like reading scripture. We talk about worshiping together. We talk about being in community with one another. And then everyone's favorite during the season of Lent is the great and powerful fast. You guys heard people talk about fast during Lent? The Catholics do this right, by the way. They have this thing called fish fry. Yeah. I encourage you, like, you don't have to be Catholic to enjoy a fish fry. I'm actually a part of a group. It's called the Grouper Troopers. We have t-shirts. It's amazing. We also have a group. I'm not a part of this. This is like the opposing group. They're called the Tilapia Mafia. When we see each other at fish fries, we snap. See, now you're all excited about Lent and spiritual disciplines and fitness. The truth is, we don't talk about it that much. And when we do, it's normally in quick bursts. But you know what? Like, my friend will talk to me about things like rock climbing. They'll talk to me about the exciting parts about physical fitness. They'll talk to me. I have a friend who brags. He's like, he does the Tough Mudder stuff. Have you guys seen this? Tough Mudder is like a mini race, but there's obstacles. I don't know why he does it. He says there's some part that has these little dangly things that shocks you if you get too close to him. I'm like, that's not fun. But he does these things. And he's the only person to me that has talked about his diet. He says he gets to carb up the day before a race. That's another thing we don't talk about, diets. People love to talk about things like rock climbing or the race, but they don't talk about the basic stuff, the thing that gets there, right? Did you guys know that diet's like one of the most important things you can do for your physical health? I told you I used to be athletic. My primary mode of working out was like, okay, I just burned 600 calories. What can I find that is 600 calories so that I can break even? That's like two donuts or one really good one. Diet is important. Diet is essential. If you don't have a good diet, you can't do things like rock climbing. You just can't. I started thinking about this, and the reason I'm talking to you about diet is I'm drawing a parallel, because one of the other things that we don't talk a lot about but is just as essential is prayer. Diet is to your physical fitness what prayer is to your spiritual fitness. It's that thing that we don't necessarily talk all that much about, or when we do, it's kind of generic, and it's the nourishment. It's the primary thing that gets us to where we need to be. You see, in church, like people, my friends, he'll talk to me about rock climbing. Doesn't talk to me about what he eats to prepare for rock climbing. We talk about mission stuff all the time, right? If you're telling your friend about your church, you're like, man, we're going to Mexico on this mission trip. We're going to Ghana. No one's ever like, we're having a prayer service. We prayed really hard on Sunday. But I'm here to tell you it's essential. Prayer is what nourishes us. Prayer is what connects us. We just sang a song, and it's actually one of my favorite songs, Come Thou Fount. I sing this to my son Ezra. There's a phrase in there that says, tune my heart to sing your praise. Guys, when we pray, we actually tune our hearts. It nourishes us. It turns us away from ourselves and looks and points us towards God. It points us to the spiritual side of what we're doing. As people who are both body and spirit, prayer is what allows us to navigate both. I think that's fascinating. And I also found out some different things. When people do talk about diets, how many of you guys have ever like walked through like a grocery store and you've seen the magazines? Every magazine has something about diet on it. It's normally like, hey, don't eat bananas because you'll get abs. Have you seen these things? It's ridiculous. How to drink lemon water and cayenne and lose 40 pounds in like 2 days. That's not, what? There's a lot of like really bad information out there about diets. And yet it's very important. Friends, we also have some of the same things with prayer. Prayer is one of those things that we don't talk a lot about, and when we do, there's a lot of miscommunications. There's a lot of weird things. One of the big things that we get to talk about with youth is like prayer is not a vending machine. You guys heard this before? A lot of people think that if you pray, and you pray really, really hard, that you can get whatever you want. Like I put in the prayers, I press the button, I get the yacht, or I get the pony, or I get whatever I want. But we know that prayer doesn't necessarily work that way. And yet that's still one of the ways that people view prayers. I don't know. There's a lot of things about prayer that we talk about that we're still confused about. In fact, let me just do this. How many of you could give me like a one sentence definition of what prayer is? Okay. I do want hands. I like when you participate. It lets me know that I haven't done something wrong. A couple people? How many of you think you could explain to a friend what prayer is? There's actually more of you who can explain what prayer is. That was interesting. How many of you would be willing to pray publicly? A couple? That's actually the biggest thing. We talk about prayer, it's kind of general, but we still have some fear about it. We have a lot of things that we think that are true, but maybe necessarily aren't. And I found something out while reading scripture. People have been always trying to figure out how to pray better. They always have. In fact, Jesus does a lot of talking on prayer. Scripture talks a lot about prayer. The book of Psalms, it's a collection of songs and prayers. Jesus routinely goes away in scripture to pray. And Jesus also teaches people how to pray. I'm going to read a passage to you from the book of Matthew. It comes from chapter 6. This is one instance where Jesus teaches about prayer. I like this. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I like this. You see, Jesus is, in this portion of Scripture, Jesus has been talking to people about how to basically engage in public worship. He has just come off this conversation saying, people, love your enemies, pray for those who wrong you. He's just told people, when you give in church, like, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. He's giving people this concept of how to engage in public worship. And then our passage, he says, you know, don't be like those hypocrites who pray loudly in public. I don't think Jesus is against public prayer, by the way. Otherwise, we would not do it in church publicly. But Jesus does seem to be saying that something is special about having prayer in private. That there's something that maybe changes us, that there's a benefit to prayer. I like that. There's something special about private prayer. He goes on and he keeps talking. He also says, don't use lots of words. Have you guys ever heard a prayer like that? Have you guys ever said a prayer where every other word was like, God or Lord? People do it when they get nervous. So we fall back on familiar words. But I like this passage because when I hear this, words aren't the important part. There's not like an incantation, right? There's not like a prescribed way to pray in which, like, if you say these words exactly correct, that's how your prayer gets answered. Jesus is saying prayer doesn't work like that. Jesus is saying God knows what you need before you even say it, even if you don't use words. To me, that's significant. To me, that means that it's more about the motivations of our heart. It's about an attitude of prayer rather than words. One of the reasons people don't like praying in public, by the way, is because they don't know what to say. That's what you'll hear most of the time. We do silent prayers for this reason. Words aren't important. When we pray, where's our heart? Where's our attitude? I think that's interesting. Jesus also goes on to basically give us what we now know as the Lord's Prayer. We say this pretty much every time we meet, right? We don't do that so because that prayer has like some kind of specific power. We pray that way. We pray that prayer because that's how Jesus taught us to pray. And we think it's a pretty good prayer. If you break it down, it has a little bit of everything. You start by honoring God. You ask for God's kingdom to be present here. Like, let the change happen here. Let us be a part of it. We ask for our basic needs. We ask for the food that sustains us. We ask for forgiveness from our sins. We ask for help in forgiving others. We ask that we avoid temptation. See, once again, that's not like a mathematical equation that gives us an answer. Guys, these are the things that are on our hearts. You see, prayer is special. Prayer is, as I said, that nourishment. It's what sustains us. Because here's the thing. Prayer does not exist so that we get what we want. Prayer is not a cosmic vending machine. What I know is this, and this is, in my opinion, the good news today. When you pray, God is with you. God is with you when you're not praying even. But when you pray, you start paying attention to God. You can't help but pay attention to what is happening around you. Prayer forces us outside of ourselves. Prayer takes all our worries, all of our concerns, and it focuses it outward. When Jesus says things like, pray for your enemies, forgive those who have trespassed against you? That's because when we forgive others, we start to understand what it means to be forgiven ourselves. You see, the power of prayer is that it changes us. Jesus said things like, pray for your enemies, not because he thought by like praying for your enemies, like it's suddenly going to make them magically better, but because you can't pray for an enemy and have them be an enemy for very long. You can't pray for people who have wronged and hurt you and not start to see them as something maybe different. Maybe a child of God, maybe a person just as broken as you are. Prayer changes us. Public prayer has a purpose, don't get me wrong. Public prayer is great. It helps focus the attention of what we're doing. Like, we pray every time in worship because it's what we do. It has a teaching component. But we also acknowledge, just like we have meals together, right? Like, it's something we do together as worship. But friends, just as we gather here for worship, just as we gather here for a potluck, so too do you have to feed yourself when you go home, right? Prayer is essential. It's what connects us to God. It's what allows us to see past ourselves. And I will say this. I have seen miraculous prayer. I have seen prayer answered in ways that I could never have imagined. But you know what I have never not experienced? I have never prayed and had God not be there. I don't care who, like what you've done, who you are, where you come from. When you pray, God is with you. We believe that God is with you always, but when you pray, you start paying attention. Now, you may be asking yourself, like, okay, so what's the purpose of this, right? Like, we can talk about things like this. We can say that God shows up when we pray. We can say that prayer changes us, but what does that mean for us? This is Lent. We're talking about spiritual fitness. How do you become spiritually fit? Like, when we pray, do we work out? Like, is it like lifting weights? Kind of is. I do know people who have learned to pray better. Like, the more you pray, the more sense it seems to make. I'm not saying like you're going to start praying and all of a sudden everything's going to make perfect sense to you. But friends, the more you pray, the more you'll find yourself praying. I'm also going to tell you right now, you as individuals, there's not a right or wrong way to pray. I tell this to the youth all the time. You don't have to kneel. I've heard people say, like, God hears you better when you're on your knees. Like, no, I don't think that's true. I had one friend say, he can't pray. There's not a candle that's been lit. God hears you just fine. Candles, kneeling, all that fun stuff, that's for our benefit. That's our training, right? That allows us to focus our bodies on spiritual things. The first thing we can do as people is actually start praying. As individuals, we need to start praying more. And I know that's not very exciting, but I'm telling you essentially the spiritual equivalent of feed yourself. Pray. The more you pray, the stronger your spirituality would be. People who pray more tend to feel less lonely. They don't feel as disconnected. They have a different kind of peace. Start praying. The other thing is this. How many of you have ever like been on social media and you've seen the thoughts and prayers comments? Have you seen this? Anytime there's a tragedy happens, thoughts and prayers. I myself do this, thoughts and prayers. I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing that people of faith across the world will say thoughts and prayers. That their first response in tragedy is thoughts and prayers. That they're focused on it. But friends, if prayer changes us, if prayer is the thing that focuses us on things that's going on outside of us, we have to not only be people who think and pray, we need to be people who act in response to prayer. We need to be people who actually allow prayer to change us. When prayer changes you, it changes people around you, not because of magic, but because you start doing different things. You start acting differently. We have to let prayer change us. We have to let it infuse our being. That's all you have to do. Been up here talking for 15 minutes. The short of it is, hey, go pray. You're welcome. It was easy. What does the church have to do? What do we as the church do? Why is prayer important to the church? That's a little harder for me. We do pray publicly. We teach. We talk about prayer so that you understand prayer a little better, hopefully. We tell you, we remind you, we say, hey, go pray. It's good. But I think one of the primary things that the church gets to do is we're the ones who help organize the response, right? If prayer changes you, then it's the duty of the church to give you ways to respond prayerfully, to give you ways. That's one of the reasons we do mission work. We provide mission opportunities. We provide opportunities for you to grow in other aspects of your faith. We offer prayer application, if you will. The other thing that the church does really well, and we've kind of talked a little bit about this, we help navigate this idea of body and spirit. If you really think about it, that's kind of a deep concept, body and spirit. Jesus says things like, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We're more than body, we're more than spirit. Friends, one of the reasons we gather for worship is because the church still testifies to that. We're about to take communion in just a few minutes. We believe that through the act of communion, we are nourished both physically and spiritually. There's a meal component there. Everything we do in worship is to tie us together physically, to build us up spiritually. We pray. We have some prayers that are written. Sometimes we pray just off the cuff. All those prayers are valid. All those prayers are building us up spiritually. All those prayers are teaching. But friends, this is where, if you really want to know how to pray, this is where it happens at this table. What we learn at this table, we take out from here. We go forth from here and we begin to pray in the private of our own homes where God changes us as individuals. Then we come back next week and we share our change with everyone else around us until this place becomes literally the change that the world needs. There is a song that's coming to me right now. I'm going off script right now. I apologize. What's the song? It's like, see, this is why you don't go off script. Be the change you want to be. I think it might have been a Michael Jackson song. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. Yeah. We have to change ourselves before we change anything. The church exists to change the world, to change people who change the world. This goes even back to our Methodist roots. If you look at the Methodist church, we exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's like the mission statement of the entire United Methodist Church. How do we do that? We pray. We do the small, mundane task of praying. And friends, I would venture to say that you pray far more often than you think. How many of you have ever been just driving and you found yourself having a conversation with God? Do you guys do that? I do that far more than I go to an altar. I pray when I get in trouble. I used to tell a story. I almost got kicked out of church camp for doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. Shocker. But I ran from a security guard and hid behind a tree. Yeah. And I was behind the tree, and you know what I started doing? Better believe I prayed. We pray in times of trouble. How many of you have ever prayed when you're happy? You just kind of found yourself praying. It doesn't have to be formal. If prayer is diet, I'm really going off script here. So if this doesn't work, just say, Daniel, shut up and it's time to move on now. But if prayer is like diet, when we come to the table, right, this is like a four-course meal. Right, this is a big deal. This is one of those things. It's a celebration. But how many of you have ever just had that 50-calorie prayer? Snack pack prayer. Open a bag of goldfish prayer. Lord, I need help. Help me. Thank you. Bye. Right? How many of you ever just listened for a brief moment? Prayer doesn't have to be a four-course meal every time. Okay? You're going to have snack pack prayers. That's good. That's how it sustains you. I would encourage you this week as we go forth from here, when you pray, don't worry about your words. Worry about your heart. Worry about what you actually need. Not even necessarily what you want, but what you need. And friends, when you start praying for the things you need, you actually figure out what it is that you need. You figure out that God has always been there, sustaining you, caring for you. Let us be changed by prayer this week. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this place where we can come, where we can have conversation, where we can learn about you through your word, where we can pray, where we can sit with you at a table and have a meal. We pray that you would bless us, that you would help us to hear you, to see you in all the things that we do, that we would be people of prayer who are forever changed by it. Continue to bless us, continue to guide us, give us the strength and the wisdom we need to navigate this world. But Lord, help us to see and hear you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.